Welcome to the A-News Podcast. This is episode 115 for May 17th, 2019. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on Anarchist News. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the nonsectarian anarchistnews.org.
Editorial, Fights We Can Win. A year ago or so, a friend of mine was going to do a workshop on affinity group healthcare. Her description of it was insufficiently trans-sensitive, and it caused an online controversy and an organizer headache, and she decided it wasn't worth the trouble to actually hold the workshop. One of the organizers of the event where the workshop was to be held apparently had to talk one person down from suicidal thoughts based on the workshop description. What this means is my friend has been labeled as a trans-hater for whatever minuscule group that cares and remembers, that the people upset at the time felt like they got a win over the nasty trans-hating world, regardless of what they knew or didn't know about my friend's trans-friendliness, and also that a bunch of people didn't get the interesting logistical and anarchist provocation of the workshop. This leads me to think about two things. One, self-sabotage. And two, picking fights we can win. Back when I was working with leftists and had more severe leftist handicaps of my own, one of the ways we talked about getting people to not just join, but stay involved, was to engage people in short-term struggles that we could win, unlike the faraway revolution that we talked about actually wanting. Obviously, that meant struggling about smaller things, with the implicit expectation that winning enough small fights, and maybe the right small fights, would lead to winning big fights, and then total socialist, anarchist, now I'm confused, triumph. Now, I would respond to that by arguing that thinking about the things that I'm doing in the frame of how they will appeal to other people is perhaps what made me the hostile hermit that I am today. That it is getting retail marketing mixed up in my anarchism, and those are flavors that don't blend well for me. I would also respond that keeping people focused on small fights means that it's even easier to lose the forest for the trees, to get sucked into details and nitty-gritty logistics, even in the name of something more profound, while losing perspective and touch with the profound thing itself. And to the extent that activists are sincere and not just manipulating newbies with feel-good exercises, it means that the organizers lose touch too. And while the activist rhetoric is that people are upset and just need to know that they can win, and that information slash success will bring the rising up of the masses, what that generally looks like in practice is activists trying to anger people, or, you know, inform them about things that would make anyone angry. But maybe more what I'm testing here, like a tongue on a rotten tooth, is an ongoing ambivalence to social life and what it means to need other people. Because I would also argue that increasingly, marketing is another word for what people understand as relationships, and vice versa. People more and more are encouraged to and grow up with the expectation that they will market themselves, that they will show pretty, shiny, happy, sad faces in simplified iconography of actual human beings. Is it possible to market a more complicated view of ourselves as individuals and as examples of humanity? Or has this turned into yet another set of thoughts on what aging is like, what it is like to lose touch with the common parlance of the people I've surrounded myself with? Time will tell, perhaps. What's new this week? Media Radicalism as a Family Meal, from Ediciones Inéditos. A brief reflection on some French media personalities that might remind U.S. readers of some so-called radical media personalities of our own. Quote, but it must be clearly stated, if these people, Branco, Lordon, Ruffin, etc., occupy the top billing on media posters, it is precisely because they are not revolutionaries. Despite being not very radical, they are also quite accessible and help people think, which should then help lead these people towards more radical ideas. Though, as soon as they are present, the question of revolution is rejected from the get-go. Being not very radical is the condition of access to public debate. If intellectual radical media pundits are heard, it is because they translate the critique of this society into the language of this society. Revolution is not an idea, an opinion, which we must rally the greatest number to. Rather, it is an overcoming, a rupture. And nobody is ready for this rupture. We'd rather renounce fossil fuels than the divisions of class society, and most likely we'll renounce neither, unquote. Yep.
Standing at the crossroads from anarchist communist group. This is mostly a revisiting of some articles from the past by ACG and the classic exhortation to get serious and join our group. They have the answer, they just need you.
Organize magazine, review of Van Dusen's On Anarchism, Dispatches from the People's Republic of Vermont, from Organize by Nick Ray. I started to go off on this being written by a middle schooler before I got to the part about maybe Nick Ray doesn't have English as a first language. At any rate, someone at Organize should have edited this better, or at all. Aside from that, this is a classic book report with an admiring outline of the book's contents and not much else. Quote, it takes place in a small New England city, but the stories feel like a microcosm of larger systems. Tactics like filling diners with people only drinking coffee during peak dinner time do get a message across. It doesn't feel like this is being mirrored around the world, and on the grander scale, if only a few people boycott companies like Nestle, Amazon, etc., the bosses will continue to exploit. But without a few people like Van Dusen getting things going, of course, it would be even worse. Unquote.
Italy. Text letter by anarchist comrades Anna, Silvia, and Ignace from inside L'Aquila prison high security section. From Act for Freedom, I think? Received by email. This letter from two inmates in the high security women's prison in Italy is a recounting of the petty, arbitrary, controlling, mundane torture of life in this institution, from multiple searches a day to stories cut out of newspapers, to denial of music CDs and CD players, ad delirium. And the small but vital ways that prisoners find to rebel. Quote, as for life together inside, after a few days, blasphemy, or rather anarchist atheism and religion, emerged as being quite incompatible for the Muslim prisoner who asked to be transferred due to incompatibility. For the moment, the management have dealt with this by applying a particularly obnoxious and ridiculous ban on meeting with other prisoners, which we are trying to counter, given the small size of the section and the resulting isolation. The DAP's attempts at prison experimentation seem to be wavering considering the inability to manage the situation, as admitted by the local guards themselves. Unquote.
Off with the masks, from Avis de Tempête, issue 16, April 15, 2019, from Act for Freedom. A funny title for an anarchist article, but clearly the masks they're talking about are not on anarchists. This is a sketch, poorly translated from the Italian and presumably inspired in part by the Yellow Vests phenomenon, of France as an example of normal capitalist state behavior, war profiteering, spycraft, hypocrisy, and all. It's nice to be reminded that the US might be one of the bigger bullies, but it's hardly the only one. You know, nice. Like, nice to be reminded of who the actual, overwhelming, totalizing, brutal, rich, and endemic enemies are. Quote, arms exports thus represent more than 25% of all exports from the deadly republic. Far be it from us to want to devalue the anger that has taken to the streets in recent months. We need to point out that there is something lacking in the end of the month anger, if not a lot. For example, it lacks a certain depth in looking beyond one's own backyard, beyond a mere insipid and increasingly costly survival. Unquote.
Solidarity with detained Cuban anarchist and LGBT activists. From Black Rose Federation. Aside from bits of context, this is a short translated statement by one of the detained, a recording of about 90 seconds of someone speaking Spanish. Quote, following tensions around the cancellation of the state-sponsored LGBT march and the effort by activists to call for an independently organized one, two anarchist and LGBT activists, Isabel Diaz-Torres and partner Jimmy Roque Martinez, are believed to have been detained by Cuban authorities. The detentions are seen as an attempt by the Cuban state to suppress and intimidate outspoken activists whom they see as leaders and vocal activists in the LGBT community in Cuba. Unquote.
International solidarity from anarchists in Mexico City. From Voices in Movement, which says about itself, quote, it's a space of diffusion meant to help cultivate resistances to the arrangements produced by states, capital, borders, and other harmful institutions, unquote, seeking to, quote, publish translations and analysis, both contemporary and historical, to share strategies, solidarity, and histories of resistance across imaginary divisions of nations and borders, unquote. Sounds friendly, right? Otherwise, this is a very short acknowledgement of the many detained, processed, tortured, and active on May 1st. Quote, Burn the prisons, fuck the police, free Miguel Peralta, unquote.
RCMP vehicles destroyed in Hamilton from North Shore Counter Info. Quote, using spray paint, we gave their cars new paint jobs, applied etching cream to permanently damaged glass surfaces, and put bleach into accessible gas tanks. We like to think that, for a short time, we have made it just a bit safer around here. A small act of gratitude for those truly honoring our mother on this Mother's Day, unquote.
Defend Julian Assange from Anarchismo. Even aside from the tired rhetoric of the working class, trademark, etc., this article out of Melbourne is kind of weird for anarchists. It's interesting because it looks at Assange as more of a whole person than just good or bad and acknowledges his role as information spreader as well as some of the fucked up things he's done. Quote, in publishing The Crimes of Uncle Sam, Julian Assange performed a great service for the working class and the oppressed peoples of the world, and on that basis he must be defended against U.S. attempts to seek retribution against him. He is, however, no saint. Firstly, he is accused of sexual assault in Sweden. While it is clear from published facts that Assange's sexual ethics are poor, the Melbourne anarchist communist group is unsure whether his actions amount to a breach of Swedish law. Accordingly, we believe that he should go to Sweden to deal with the accusations and clear his name or face the consequences, unquote. Is there a way for anarchists to talk about Assange's bad behavior and appropriate consequences without reference to law, Swedish or otherwise? Surely we've got some better ideas. It also mentions his political shenanigans, but of course, he's not an anarchist. None of us were confused about that, right? It ends with the prompt that Assange should go to Sweden, not the US, which just seems surreal to me. But what do I know?
Anarchist Festival 2019 from Freedom News UK. Announcing the new decentralized form of book fair, which is an entirely good idea, aka the only real possible response in these days of people being unable to play well together. Kind of downplays one of the things that book fairs have been good for, which is reconnecting people across tenancy lines, but that might be too hard a task for any one event these days. Presents the schedule as it stands so far, and also alerts people to a new free school project. Good for them. I miss free schools. Sad face.
New zine, Gender After Civilization, from Heresy Distro. Articles on why being anti-civ is not anti-trans. Whether the articles slash reasoning are satisfying will, of course, vary. Some of the included titles, the editorial or Queer Means Attack, Fire Dog, Arming Negativity, Identity and Power, Beyond Negativity, Afterthoughts. This is definitely on my to-read list, so, you know, any month now.
About the sentence in Scriptum Anent, Trial and Update on Comrade Marco Bassesti, from Act for Freedom Now. An update on the outcome, so far, of the defendants, including Bassesti, who was put in isolation for 10 days because of disagreeing with a guard. Two were sentenced to 5 years for, quote, participation in a, quote, subversive association with terrorist purposes, unquote. Write an anarchist prisoner today.
Anarcho-Surrealism in Chicago 2019, from Ill Will Editions, an extremely short announcement of a new pamphlet with articles by Penelope Rosemont, May She Live Forever, Ron Sikalski, and Don Lacoste, who has no R in his name, people.
Hamilton police PR stunt met with counter demo from North Shore Counter Info. Quote, Coffee with a Cop, a public relations event by Hamilton police, found itself competing for attention with Coffee Without Cops. The plucky group of anarchists set up outside the entrance to Cafe Orange in downtown Hamilton, handing out free coffee and snacks to passersby, along with information about the HPS's abuses of civilians. Anarchist Blank told a reporter from the Hamilton Spectator that the police's public relations event doesn't address the core issues whatsoever, but only serves to distract from systemic corruption. Quote, it's kind of insulting holding this two doors down from where a woman was killed, said Anarchist Blank, referring to the death of a 30-year-old woman, tased then shot 9 times by a senior police officer last October. In its article, the Spectator minimized Anarchist Blank's comments and did not indicate the woman was killed by police, unquote. What more needs to be said?
Audio and video. Primal Anarchy, Podcast 19, Writing and Writhing. 1 hour and 25 minutes. KT gives the clarifying direction that submissions to the journal should be not only interesting content, but well-written, and that that doesn't mean that things have to be written in his style, because there are many different styles of writing, but if you want to know what gets in the journal, then read some of his writing. How many mutually exclusive ideas can one fit into 10 minutes of a podcast? We're finding out! One hopes that he pays more attention to his writing than to his podcasts, since he calls his writing sadistic when presumably he meant masochistic. Or perhaps he is more self-aware than he seems. Cheap shots aside, as a not very good writer myself, I am absolutely interested in people talking about their writing, the process, etc. But this word torrent offers insights like, writing gets better with practice, writing is always hard, and writing changes over time. Ugh! He does get to more interesting bits, like the relationship of research to actual writing, starting about 35 minutes in. He also mentions that he's terribly sleep-deprived and does all his writing in the middle of the night. So that also might answer some questions. Oops, back to the cheap shots. It was worth it to me to listen to this, not because I agree with KT about almost anything. For example, school paper writing is a useful form for some kinds of topics and forums, and being good at it could probably help Tucker's writing, which tends to be under-reasoned and too long. But listening to people talk about things we care about is fun and useful just because it reminds us to think about these things. So thanks, KT.
Anarchy Radio, May 14th, 2019. An hour. Kath and co-hosts. No callers. Periodicals were read. Tragedies discussed. Kathan is having an art show, and AirPods are exploding in the trash. Interesting that Jay-Z recognizes that there is no chance China will halt any form of industrialism, yet still focuses on confronting and stopping things like climate change / civilization. One wonders where Jay-Z gets such hope for change and faith in the individual.
Anarchy Bang, episode Green Scare Book Fair, 20 minutes. A sad and truncated show as Aragorn tells a brief story of being alienated from a place you thought you were invited to. More hashed out, one might say overly so, in the social norms topic of the week thread, which turned into an exchange mostly about the book fair, when the Atossa theft, etc., was just supposed to be an example of a trend. Of course, the special book fair attendees don't want to be part of a trend, they want to be special snowflakes who are responding to serious provocation, aka Aragorn's rudeness. Oops, guess I'm still aggravated. Moving on.
Revolutionary Left Radio, Anarchism and Marxism in Dialogue with AnarchoPac, an hour and 5 minutes. I had never heard of online personality AnarchoPac, aka Zoe, but from the brief time I spent listening to this, they're one more British pro-mass movement writer. Here's a tweet from them, quote, "Today I've been dreaming about Anarchist History Podcast and the level of ridiculous detail it would allow me, e.g. going line by line through documents, explaining what they're saying, having a whole episode on a single strike, or going through every anarchist terrorist act in order," unquote. Perhaps you have more patience for leftists talking to each other about Marx, in which case, have fun.
Topic of the week, enforcing social norms. What are good anarchist responses to people you share spaces with, behaviors you don't like, opinions you disagree with, or principles you don't share? If you haven't heard, yesterday at the Green Scare Anarchist Book Fair, someone stole every copy of Atossa from Little Black Cart. Later in the evening, it was discovered that someone pepper sprayed the inside of Aragorn's tent. Is this an example of a good anarchist response? Last week, a well-known anarchist group doxed an online persona solely for getting involved in the U.S.-based The Society Dispatch Facebook group blog for associating with eco-extremism. Unfortunately, they thoroughly doxed the wrong person, posting the personal information of someone completely unrelated, including multiple photos of their children with teeny black boxes covering their eyes and nose, thus totally hiding their identity. Is this a good example of what anarchists do when they don't agree with someone? These are only two recent examples that obviously illustrate cliquishness and covert exertion of authority based on in-groups and social capital. I don't mean to suggest that anarchists have some sacred duty to never attack other anarchists. Rather, I mean to suggest that anarchists have no good reason for how to establish desirable social norms without covertly replicating the same patterns of authority and groupthink they claim out loud to reject. So what are some other better alternatives for how to respond to people we just don't like? Ariel,
hi,
welcome
Aragorn.
Back.
Nice to be back. This question, or at least the first part of the question, like many questions, I do not believe is specific or unique to the anarchist space.
Yeah, sure.
Right? I can give a half a dozen examples of close quarters involvement of groups of people where one person in the group was not liked and was not wanted, and absolutely no one else in the group was capable of expressing that sentiment. So this involves people volunteering in organizations, like working in groups together, and tolerating the one person that no one likes. I knew a household of people, there were 7 of them, and there was one roommate who was absolutely horrible, like stole from people and people would wake up in the middle of the night and he'd be standing in their room, but yet no one would ask him to leave. Multiple roommate scenarios that actually aren't in the anarchist scene at all. And people are incapable of...
Well, the point, though, would be that shouldn't anarchists be different, special, better?
I mean, it's my identifying group, so I want to say yes. But I'm actually not sure that that's true. What in our politic would lay down a line that would say that we will be better at this?
Well, I mean, at the very core of the beautiful idea is this idea that we subscribe to a world without violence or to a world without coercive authority.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be at the very core of why we call ourselves anarchists in the first place.
So not letting the unwanted member of the group make everyone else miserable is avoiding that coercive authority.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm not sure what I'm saying.
I mean, obviously, we know that the beautiful idea is not the same thing as the people who allegedly hold it. And
sure.
We also know that people hold it in really different ways.
That's true.
I mean, most people hold it in such a way as that they believe that it really can only exist in an entirely different world that we have not achieved. Therefore, the rules that we use in this world are on some level not related.
Sure. Yeah. You do what you have to do to get by until the revolution?
I think some people spend a lot of time talking about that.
Yeah. No, I think so too. So I don't think I have a prescription for anarchists. I want people in general to be more clear and straightforward and transparent. And I don't like the passive aggressiveness and whispers behind hands and backstabbing and infighting that isn't really fighting. I think the theft of the Atossas is whatever, I guess.
If this began and ended with the theft of the Atossas, this would be an entirely different conversation.
Oh, for sure. I'm embarrassed for the people who burned them and was proud of that. Maybe they weren't proud of it. Maybe they just thought it was a funny thing to put on the internet, which, okay, I guess
kind of
someone can find humor in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Burning
paper is pretty. No, but the rest of it's where this turns into a different kind of conversation.
Yeah, it's very strange. I've been through this thread and so many people who were there and had so many things on the internet to say about what was your inappropriate behavior, but yet in a room full of people, no one could speak to you. And I just don't understand. Yeah.
No, it is. I mean, on that level, it is funny to think that I spent an entire weekend with a group of people who both hated me and did not dare speak a word of criticism or hostility.
Yeah. And somewhere in here is also, I feel like, more so now than in the past, is this baseline insistence that we're all supposed to get along and like each other?
Well, okay, let's talk about that, because perhaps I'm the one that assumes that we should be getting along together, and they assume, and they did not get along with me in return.
But the point was that wasn't okay.
What do you mean?
You, accepting your premise, you wanted everyone to get along, they did not want to get along with you, and that fact, it didn't end there. That fact alone was not enough.
There had to be a next step. There had to be an escalation. There had to be a consequence or a price to pay for the fact that...
let me sit in the room and not like me.
Right. Something has to be done about the not liking because...
Yeah. I believe we call this the activist impulse.
Sure. Uh-huh. And I never know what to do with that because, well, I guess because I don't like most people, but the push towards homogeneity is both scary and dull.
Hmm. I mean, but of course they would say the exact same thing. They would say me being generally nice, although that's not what they said in the thread, but
sure.
But I think that is actually what I performed. Me being nice to people or not engaging with them, that's actually a homogenization of against them.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand that one.
Their activism was against a world of boring niceness.
Okay. Sure. Tense or boring? Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking at the question again.
Well, the question is,
what are some better alternatives for how to respond to people that we just don't like?
Ignore them would, of course, be what you're implying.
Well, I mean, if you are so inclined, I think it's perfectly acceptable to engage in a conversation with someone that you don't like based on the premise that you don't like them.
I will admit, one person did approach the table, quote unquote, the table, although really it was a stack of boxes on the ground.
Uh-huh.
One person did approach the table sort of like with a half-hearted, like, oh, I see you brought a Tesla's. and I fucking hair trigger. And I totally said to them, I said, do you actually know what these say? Or are you just repeating something that you've heard on the internet or from someone who basically hasn't read it and who is against it? And like they were a little shocked that I really like stuck them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, yeah, no, I don't know what it's about. I just heard that. But I think that was the only hostile interaction I had with anybody the entire book fair. Uh-huh. And I think that's the only thing that can be referred to in that thread about what an asshole I was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like it when people pick actual fights and that when there's meat in the fight, be it philosophical or mm-hmm. ideological or physical. These things that are happening are not worthy of being called a fight. And yet we pay so much attention to them and they seem to matter so much to so many people.
I mean, I think that this has a lot to do with the tenor of the anarchist space right now. False drama is a lot easier to get engaged with than real drama because, you know, let's be frank here. Nobody's life or livelihood was impacted by this set of situations.
Sure.
The only real consequence of this are sort of some long-term disturbing trends within the anarchist space, you know, which obviously we're going to talk a lot about this weekend in the Anarchy Bang podcast. I'm trying to keep it framed off a little bit from just about being about me.
Sure.
But, you know, I think that the thing that I come away with is that things have changed in a way that is sort of incomprehensible.
Yes. I would say that that's true. And while I'm...
How does one explain the incomprehensible?
Yeah. And while I'm still always willing to leave room for it to be about age and generations and that gap, I also don't think that it's that simple.
No, for sure. There is something else going on here, something disturbing.
Yeah. Well, perhaps maybe an opportunity will present itself for those who are claiming victory on the internet to explain what it is that they won. I would find that interesting.
Yeah, I sure hope it's more than just scaring, you know, one person with the mob. But actually, to get to the actual topic of the week, what are some better alternatives for how to respond to people we just don't like? I think that the first thing you have to assume when you make a statement like that is that you have to assume that there is some tie that binds, so that there is some version of community that we all accept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and on some level, maybe the answer to this is that you have to assume that we're not just a pile of individuals, and that we have something that connects us. And definitely, you know, from what I experienced last weekend and from what I've experienced on watching the internet, there does not appear to be a thing that binds us together. And that basically on some level, the subcultural hope of anarchism, you know, that I've been a part of for 30 years has failed. And perhaps it's just failed in that it's pushed aside sort of the most individuated of individuals, but that basically the idea that we share this beautiful idea and that we're going to use it to sort of envision and destroy this world and create another one, that's over.
Okay. Well, that definitely puts a fine point on it, doesn't it?
I mean, that's how I'd answer that question. We don't, you know, like Brian from Crime Think, which maybe we should delete that out, but whatever, B from Crime Think couldn't call us all together and have us sit down and fix this problem, or you know, the authors of Profane Existence couldn't call them together. And, like, you know, whatever it is, but like there is no thing.
Yeah.
And if we were going to sit down and do that and really talk in terms of like what would turn this situation into a teachable moment or whatever the rest, I don't feel comfortable in joining that conversation, especially with the kids that I met that weekend.
Sure. I mean, there's so many levels on which you can't establish trust to even begin the conversation or even assume an understanding amongst all parties. So,
I mean, it
doesn't work.
I'd almost say, write me a report in 5 years about what you think about what you did and how you participated in groupthink and how you all fucking hid in the goddamn basement. But okay, whatever.
Well, I was trying to. I lost it now. I don't remember what I was trying to do.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Lino Maple. What's New was written by Jackie and Dim and read by Chisel and Dim. The editorial was written by Jackie. We thank Aragorn and Friend for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackcart.com. For news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anews.org. And or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked to on ANews.